Thank you. Thank you. I want to start by telling you how excited I am about being here. Are you guys ready if I come off the pulpit? Anybody grew up in a Catholic church? A couple of us. I grew up in a Catholic church, and for some odd reason, when the priest stood up top and looked at me, I just felt about that big. And my ministry example was Jesus, and Jesus was amongst the people, so there'll be times where I'll walk down. I won't stand up on the pulpit. Hopefully I don't offend anybody, but just really feel like God has called us to do this together, to be able to do what God's called us to do. Just want to share a backdrop just a little bit. I grew up in Ocean City. Anybody know about Ocean City? Great place to grow up as long as you want to live like the greatest sinner in the world. I did my absolute very best. At the age of 32, I got radically saved, went to the pastor at the church. Actually, he called me in his office and said, "Hey, what are you doing in my church? Are you running from the law? Are you dealing drugs? Or who are you having a relationship with in my church?" And I said, "Well, this is a radical concept to me because someone told me if I came to church, I could find Jesus." Amen. And I said, my exact marks were, "If I can't find Jesus here, I'll find him somewhere." Because I knew that deep down inside of me, I was created in God's image. Deep down inside of me, I knew there was something that was missing. And I began to read the Bible, and I began to realize that what was missing in my life was the presence of Jesus Christ. And so as a result of that, I got radically saved. I went to a Bible college in Pensacola, Florida, as I shared a minute ago. And I had the opportunity to travel the world. We worked with a group called Teen Challenge. And anybody ever hear of the Brownsville Revival? Brownsville took place from 1995 to about 2003. I spent 2 years at Brownsville every day in revival, every single night. Every morning we went to class. Every night we did ministry work. And it was absolutely incredible. And then we had the opportunity to travel. We went to places like Argentina in the Argentine Revival, and we saw the manifest presence of God come in a cloud. And literally on a sanctuary of 1,400 people, a presence of God came in a cloud and settled in the sanctuary, and 700 people got healed, and no one ever prayed for them. I mean, we serve a big God. You know, I got an opportunity in Africa to preach at a homeless shelter, 1,400 people living in a homeless shelter, and literally nervous as I could ever be preaching to these homeless people. And all these little kids came to the front, and we began to pray for them. And the demon-possessed began, these kids were demon-possessed, they began to get set free. And they began to talk about how they used to be drug runners for the cartels of South Africa that were run by the Muslims, and how Jesus Christ had come to set them free. And now they had this complete weight lifted off their bodies, and they just felt like completely new people. How amazing is that? I remember being in Argentina. There was a woman that came to the front. I didn't speak. They speak a Portuguese, Spanish dialect. I knew enough just to get myself in trouble. And so they brought a woman to the front, and we began to pray for this woman. And as we began to pray, all of a sudden, the woman took off, and she ran around the sanctuary. And I'm like, okay. I didn't have an interpreter. I didn't know what to do. And so the woman came back to the front, and the interpreter came. I said, "Tell me what happened." And she said, "This, you don't understand, this woman had had 5 ligaments removed from her leg 4 months ago, and they said she would never walk again. Now I know why she was running around the sanctuary." I don't know about you, but the God I serve is a much bigger God than I know in my brain. And I really desire for the presence of God to move, to change us, only for the purpose of changing a community that does not know him. If he's changing us just to change us, we have totally missed the boat. I want you to understand that. I'm not sure what kind of preaching you used to. I was raised by a black woman. I'm a lot more comfortable in an African-American church. I like to shout and jump and run and all those things. I'll respect you here. Come on, let's be real. Well, I'm at home, okay. Listen to me. Listen to me from the bottom of my heart. I mean this. And all those incredible things happened. And I'll be honest with you. I came back for a summer break. And I was staying in a place in Ocean City, and literally after seeing the manifest presence of God over and over and over and over again, I said, "God, for all I've done, I've failed." I said, "God, why?" He said, "Joe, for what you have done, you have not loved. Ready, you can have the presence and the power of God and still not understand the depth of God's love." And I came from a broken home, and I said, "God, do me a favor. Will you teach me to love?" Ready? Love is a supernatural thing. It is not a natural thing. And I said, God, begin to talk to me and begin to speak to me. And over an 18-month period, man, God just began to deal with my heart. And I said, God, teach me to love, teach me to love, teach me to love. And I literally went to a church every chance I got and just sat in God's presence. I went to the pastor and said, I don't want to preach. I don't want to serve communion. I don't want to take up the offering. God, all I want to do is fall in love with you. That's all I want. I did that for a period of time. And the presence of God was showing up week after week after week, and it was pretty awesome. And I don't know about you, but for me, when the presence of God shows up, I'm a type A personality. All I do is run, 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 run. And when the presence of God shows up, all I want to do is what? Worship and sleep. Ready? Because in his presence, there's what? There's peace. There's rest. I remember sitting there on a Tuesday night at the uprising, before it was the uprising. I remember sitting in the chair, and I was sitting back, and I said, God, this is awesome. I heard God speak to me. He said, Joe, you can stay here as long as you want, or you can do what I've called you to do. I went to the pastor. I said, hey, you know, Pastor Bill, I love you. I appreciate you, but it's time for me to go. He said, where are you going? I said, I don't know. I didn't know. Only to find myself going to a Methodist church and beginning to preach the Word of God. Pastor, why do you share that before you get started? Because I believe that God's going to move. But if we do not have the love of God, no matter how much his power shows up, we have missed God. Amen. Listen to me. It's important. What the world needs now is the presence of power of God. But it's got to be delivered in what? Love and compassion. If we miss the love, we have missed Jesus. Make sense? So what I want to do is my heart today is to really just take a little bit of time and look at Scripture. I'm a firm believer in the Trinity. I'm a firm believer in the Father. I'm a firm believer in the Son. But I'm also a firm believer in the Holy Spirit. And my experience being a pastor in churches, especially mainline churches, is that when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, people do what? They get a little nervous. They get a little, and what's going to happen? What's going to take place? And the bottom line is, I can tell you right now, I don't care. All I want is his presence. If his presence comes and you shake, do what? Shake. If his presence comes and you fall, do what? If his presence, but listen to me, when you get up, you better be what? You better be different. Ready? It's not about the manifestations without being transformed and changed by the presence and the power of God. Listen to me, I've seen people do it, and listen to me, we get hung up on it. Well, they shook, and they're like, listen to me, I don't care about that. All I want to know, and all God wants to know is, will you open yourself to be receptive to what he wants to do so that when his presence comes, that it changes us? I'll get into the message in just 2 seconds. I know we're time-wise, I have a tendency to be a little long-winded, and I apologize, kind of. Not really. We were taking communion, and to me, it was kind of a prophetic insight. Denise was standing behind me. Denise, correct? Is it Denise? Diane. Diane was standing behind me, and there was a little boy who came through. He asked for a communion cup in one hand and the bread in the other. And around one finger, he had a pacifier. No, I mean this. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. The little boy took the bread and put it in his mouth. The little boy took the juice and drank the juice. And then he did what? Ready? He came to God like a little child. He came to God like a little child. If we are going to experience God, we've got to come to him with childlike faith. We've got to come to him trusting he's going to do what he wants to do the way he wants to do it. And we cannot program or format God to do anything. Amen? Are you guys ready? Let's see if I can find a water here. My greatest desire and passion is to see God move and to really help us with a biblical understanding. Well, I trust guys, kind of. Pastor Tim came and his baby is sick and his wife is sick, and I just really wanted to take a chance. All right, we're going to look at a lot of Scripture this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 16. Luke 3:16. You say, well, Pastor, I thought you were going to preach and not teach. Ready? I think the greatest asset that's missing from the church is teaching. I think we do a lot of preaching. I think preaching is good, but we also need to teach. We need to begin to understand. And I want to kind of lay a biblical backdrop of what it means to be moving in the presence of God and moving in the power of God. And I can tell you right now that the greatest example of someone who moved in the presence and the power of God was Jesus Christ himself. If your Bibles go to Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Let me know when you're there. Someone read it. Okay, we all know the scripture, right? John's baptizing people in the Jordan River. Jesus comes up and says, what? It's my time for me to be baptized. John says, hey, I'm baptizing for repentance, but one is coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and... Wow, listen to me. It's important to understand that. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Do not treat him any differently. It is not an it. It is not a thing. It is the third person of God himself. Does that make sense? I go to times and people say, well, it, this, no, listen to me. It is the same as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is a third person. And we need to understand that. So Jesus is in the river and he gets baptized, and all of a sudden what happens? Heaven opens. He says, God said, this is my Father who I am well pleased. The Spirit of God, the dove comes down and rests on Jesus' shoulder. And then all of a sudden, Jesus makes a proclamation in Luke 4, verse 18. I want to make this very clear. Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to what? Ready? Listen to me. When Jesus Christ came, he came in his what? Humanity. Does that make sense? Even though he was the Son of God, even though he was fully divine, he came in humanity. And what he said was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach what? What else? Free those who are captive. I mean, let's look at Scripture. Everyone has a little bit different version. I'll read mine because it's the New King James. Because he's called me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set those who are liberty, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim a year of the Lord. We have to understand that, listen to me, if we get to the place, and I mean this in complete love, the church has gotten to the place where Jesus has come for salvation and salvation alone. If that's all there was, it would be enough, but it's not enough. Does that make sense? That we have to understand that Jesus didn't come just to save us. He came to heal us. He came to set us free. He came to deliver us. He came to empower us. He came to make us a difference. And the problem we have in the church is we say, I've given my heart to Jesus Christ. I have arrived. No, you haven't. And neither have I. Why did Jesus come? That we might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. What else? What's that? To reconcile his people. Ready? What else? Pastor Joe, you ask questions. Listen to me. This is the way I do it because I want to make sure you're engaged and you're paying attention. Ready? What else did he come for? To save us from our sin. What else did he come for? To set the captives free. What else did he come for? To bind up the broken heart. Luke 19:10. Anybody know what Luke 19:10 is? To seek and save that which was? What was lost? We were lost, but not only we were lost, ready? Dominion was lost as a result of the fall. But listen to me, it's much greater than seeking and saving the lost. He came to restore dominion on the earth through his people, through his son Jesus Christ. We are to have dominion in the same way that Jesus Christ did. Does that make sense? Is that too deep? You better say, wow. That is a wow moment. He came to take back which was lost in the garden. We sang it, didn't we? Heaven come to earth? Did we not sing it? Isn't it great how we can sing songs and not believe it? Pastor Joe, that's pretty hard. That's okay. You don't have to invite me back. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? Wow. Can I ask you a question? How much sickness is in heaven? How much death is in heaven? How much Oppression is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where's earth? Wow. He said he came to seek and save that which was lost. John 3:8 says he also came to destroy the works of who? Wow. He came to destroy the works of the devil. What is the works of the devil? Kill, steal, destroy. How's he kill, steal, and destroy? Deception. What else? What's that? Temptation. What else? Sickness. Disease. Addiction. You name it. They are all a result of the fall. And Jesus says, I've come back to destroy the works of who? Listen to me. We've got to understand this. And it's one of my pet peeves. And I just feel like every chance we get a chance to pray for someone who is sick, we are destroying the works of who? We're doing exactly what Jesus Christ has called us to do. Every time we pray for someone and God heals them, we've destroyed the works of who? Ready? Jesus did not come back so we could have a church and say, hey, I'm really comfortable with my church and everything is good. That was never his intent. I heard the Elder Brian say today, he made a comment. This is the place we come to get trained and equipped to do what? To go out. It was never intended to remain in the church. It was never intended to remain in the church. Question for you. When did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit? Come on, pastors, give them a break. When did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit? Right? We're all taught on what? On Pentecost Sunday, right? We're all taught Pentecost Sunday, disciples received the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I got saved in the Assemblies of God church. I got saved under the understanding that the disciples received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. How many of you believe that? That's true, kind of. But the problem is, if you go to John 20, verse 22. Ready? That means turn. John 20, 22. Anyone there? All right, Dennis. Anybody know what day that was? Resurrection Sunday. The day that Jesus Christ came out of the ground, he grabbed the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Ready? Everyone thinks they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That is not biblical. They received it on Resurrection Sunday. I don't know about you, but if they received the Holy Spirit on Resurrection Sunday, why do they have to go to Pentecost? Why do they have to go to the upper room and wait? Ready? Because when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, who moves in? The Holy Spirit. Listen to me. I want to make this very, very clear. The day you give your heart to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to do what? Dwell in you. He comes to dwell in you. That day, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in the disciples. And yet they were told to do what? Wait for what? They were commissioned on the day they received the Holy Spirit. But they were empowered, ready? They were empowered on the day of Pentecost. Listen to me. We have a lot of people who have received the Holy Spirit upon salvation, but we have not been what? I want you to think about it this way. I'm going to draw a correlation. Jesus didn't need to be saved. Let's make that clear. Okay, but it was an example. Jesus did not need to be saved, okay? Pastor Joe said, no, I'm not. Listen to me very clearly. But Jesus comes up out of the river, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And the first thing he says is what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do what? Jesus did not begin his earthly ministry until he was empowered by who? Everything Jesus did was through the power of who? Wow. The disciples receive the Holy Spirit. They go to the upper room and they wait. And they wait and they wait and they wait. What was the power for? To complete the commission. Go to Acts 1:8. What does Acts 1:8 say? You will be my witnesses to everywhere, right? What is the word? Now listen to me. I know this is probably different. You're used to people just preaching at you. It's not my heart. The reason I do this is to make sure you get it. Does that make sense? To engage you in the process. What does it mean to be a witness? What does it mean to be a witness? In the Greek, what does it mean to be a witness? Come on, that brother knows the word. To be a martyr. What is a martyr? Someone who's willing to lay down their lives for who? Listen to me, you got to understand this. Peter denies Christ, Peter denies Christ, Peter denies Christ, and all of a sudden Peter gets the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden he does what? Rises up. Why? Because when he received power, it was to be a witness to what? Even unto, listen to me, this is important. Every one of those people, especially the disciples, gave their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even John in the book of Revelation, even though he died on the Isle of Patmos in exile, was boiled before they sent him away. They're willing to die for their faith. I don't know about you. I don't know too many people in our Christian walk who understand that when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the power of God, it gives us the ability to be able to do what God's called us to do, no matter what the adversary looks like. The problem is we'd like to be what? Comfortable. We like to live in a comfort zone. We like to live in a place where it's very difficult, where it's very easy. And so what happens is, he says, I'm going to give you the ability to be a witness. I'm going to give you the ability to lay down your life, to be able to do what was very, very important for him. And that was to spread the good works of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, go to Acts 2, 1 to 4. Anyone there? Go ahead and read it out loud. That's good. Ready? I want you to understand. I want you to put yourself in that setting. Ready? Jesus tells them to go wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They understand they're going to receive power to be a witness, to give their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ, even unto death. And they go into the upper room, and they're sitting and they're waiting. And all of a sudden, the presence of God did what? How did it come? And they went in what? I want you to picture it right now. I know we get hung up on manifestations. I know we get hung up on what happens when the presence of God comes and moves. Listen to me. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that if I was in the upper room, and all of a sudden a wind began to swirl, I'd probably do what? Come on. Well, I would probably do what? You'd probably hit the floor. You would probably run. You would probably what? You'd probably hide. You would probably what? Come on, you have to put yourself in that place. I know for myself, I've been in two church services twice where the presence of God literally came in a wind, and I was like, ready? Excuse me. Oh, Jesus. I mean, literally, oh, Jesus, what do we do now? Because you know what? It's easy to read it in the book until it begins to happen. And then when it begins to happen, we have to respond. And all I can say was, guys, I don't understand this. The presence of God is here. He must be getting ready to do something. How about if I get out of the way? And I want you to think about the tongues of fire dancing on someone's head. Look at your neighbor and just imagine there was tongues of fire literally bouncing on the top of somebody's head. How would you feel about that? Weird. I don't want to pick you up. My buddy's rubbing his head like it was going to burn the hair off. Ready? I love you, man. It's too late. But I want you to understand that though they received the power of God, there was manifestations they could not explain. The only thing I say is Jesus said, John said, there's one coming after you. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit in what? It was truth. It was prophetic. It was come. It was there. Listen to me. I don't care about the manifestations. I promise you when the presence of God comes, there will be a manifestation. Do not get hung up on the manifestation. Get hung up on the presence and the power of God, because he is there to change your life. He is there to set you on fire. He is there to empower you. He's there to equip you to go into the world to make a difference. He doesn't want you to sit in this church. He wants you to be so full of his presence that you go to a sick and dying world and lay hands on the sick and watch him heal him. I tell you right now, the disciples did not come out of the upper room and say, man, you should have been in church yesterday. It was awesome. Tongues came and they were dancing and people were rolling. You should have been there yesterday. That's not what happened. They got empowered and they walked out and said, wait a minute, I've got something to tell you. The one that you crucified on the cross is not dead. He's alive. And he preached the gospel. And thousands gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. The ones who just crucified him 50 days earlier. We want the presence of God. We want the power of God. We want God to move in our lives. Because we want to shake and we want to rattle and we want to roll. Listen to me, that's okay. But that's not God's heart or God's intent. God's heart and God's intent is that he empowers you to go into a sick and dying world. And he would be a representative of Jesus Christ with all of his power and all of his glory. By the way, I'm a Methodist preacher. Thought I'd fill you in on that one. I don't know about you. Jesus told the disciples in John 14, verse 12, these and greater things shall you do in my name. I'm going to put you on the spot. Pastor, can I put him on the spot? He's like, okay, be kind. This is in love. Ready? I got my love smile on. These and greater things shall you do in Jesus' name. What did Jesus do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Okay? How many of you are healing the sick? How many of you are raising the dead? How many of you are casting out demons? Listen to me. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I mean it in love. Man, the world is eagerly waiting for the church to arise and to walk in the presence and the power of God, not because they had a great church service on Sunday, because they've been trained and equipped and empowered to make a difference in the kingdom of darkness. Ready? When the disciples received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first place they went was darkness. They went to darkness. Come on. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or receive the fullness of God, we are now equipped to go into what? Listen to me. The world is no darker than it's ever been. The world has always been this dark. The problem is the light is not as light as it used to be. And the problem is not God. The problem is us. Yeah, I got my hand on my chest. I'm pointing at me. I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing at me. I believe in all my heart that God is waiting for a generation of people to throw everything aside, to be empowered by the presence and the power of God to change your community. I'm going to share two stories with you. And if it's all right with you, then we're going to pray. I share these stories to express the heart of God. About 18 months ago, I shared this with Mark and Pastor Tim. About 18 months ago, I went into a Walmart in Salisbury. And it's easy to walk and operate in the presence and the power of God in a third world country because they believe and they understand it and they get it and they want it. But all of a sudden, when you begin to do it in America, people begin to get a little, okay? And so my wife sends me to pick up my son at Salisbury Christian School. And she said, Joe, can you pick a few things up on the way home for dinner? And I said, absolutely. She said, Joe, don't be late. My wife knows sending me to, and some of my old church members are here today, here and in the back. Hey, guys. My wife knows sending me to Walmart is a dangerous thing. I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart. I don't know why. I believe that prophetically, Sam Walton named Walmart perfectly because he said it's a saving place. I've seen more people saved in Walmart than I have in church. Explain that one. And so I go into Walmart. And I go get my things, and I have to pick my son up, and literally try to listen to the voice of God every single day of my life. When I get up in the morning, I said, Holy Spirit, where are we going today? What are we doing? Every day, Holy Spirit, where are we going? What are we doing? In the middle of the day, Holy Spirit, are we doing the right thing? Are we going in the right direction? Holy Spirit, what is your heart? What is Jesus speaking to you so I can be obedient? And so I go into Walmart, and I throw about 10 things in my cart, and I go to the express checkout line, and I get there, and I hear the voice say, don't go through that line. And I said, devil, you are a liar. Most people laugh at that. And so I go to the next line. I go to push my cart in there, and I hear that voice say, don't go through that line. I said, devil, you are a liar. My wife is home, and she told me not to be late, and I'm really going to be in trouble. And so I backed out, and I said, okay, where do you want me to go? And so I went down to the next aisle, and there was two women with cartfuls of groceries. You know what I'm talking about? Just cartfuls of groceries. And I've got 10 items, and I've got to get my son from school because I know that if I'm late, my wife's going to be what? She's going to be upset. I wish my wife would get upset. She never gets upset. And so I go and I'm late, and then all of a sudden my phone rings, and it's my son on the other line. You know why? Because now I'm late to pick him up. Well, the reality is, if he's called me, he's already called who? Mom. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I'm in trouble. And so I go to the line. I'm like, okay, God, you got to be kidding me. And so I'm in the line. I finally get to the thing. I'm putting things out, and I look at this little girl, and I said, how are you today? She said, I'm not good, but you wouldn't care. I said, try me. She said, I'm here from Haiti. I've come to be a nurse. And I go to college and I study. But I can't pass the math part. So I'll never become a nurse and I don't know what to do. And I looked at this young girl. And I said, do you pray? And she said, yes. I said, who do you pray to? I mean, she's from Haiti. You know what I mean? You got to be careful. I mean, seriously. She said, I pray to Jesus. I said, who else do you pray to? Because, you know, they mix religions there. And she said, I pray to Jesus. I said, do you believe the scripture that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit can bring everything back to your remembrance? I said, I believe it belongs in everything that has to do with wisdom and words and knowledge and all those things. And she said, yes. I said, can I pray for you? She said, yes. Now, I never expected what was getting ready to happen. The little girl's there, and this is the cashier thing, and they got that little sign there, you know, where it shows your amount, and I kind of pray for you, and now we've got like five women with carts who are trying to get home, and guess what? They're really what? You think my wife is upset? They are furious. And so I reach across the counter, and I grab her by the hands, and I begin to pray. God, I just pray for you to bring everything back to remembrance. Father, I ask that you bless my sister. God, I ask that your presence would come. Boom! And she falls out behind the counter. In Walmart. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what to do. I'm just being real. I can't go behind the counter because she's laid out. They're going to think I knocked her out and tried to rob her, right? I can't crawl across the counter because I'm too fat. Don't go there. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, what do we do now? And now the people in the line behind us are freaking out, right? And now they're five deep with carts full. And this little girl is laid down on the floor. And I don't know what to do. And please forgive me. I know we have some African-American people in here. And I love you because you're really... But how many of African-American people like to shout? Come on. And so all of a sudden, I'm right here. And I stick my head across the corner. And this little girl goes, thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! I'm like, oh, no, Jesus. Oh, no, Jesus. And this girl's shouting, and she's screaming, because in her deepest despair, God showed up at Walmart. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. At that point, my phone has rung a few more times. I'm trying to get out, and I walk down to the next register, and the woman said, I'm having problems in my marriage. Will you pray for me? I tried to get out, and I walked down to the next register, and another person came to me, and, oh, absolutely. At that point, I had nothing to lose. Come on. Ready? Go big or go home. We don't serve a small God in a small kingdom. Listen to me, we do not serve a small God in a small kingdom. We serve a large God who rules every kingdom. He rules over every kingdom. And so I go to the next person down and I pray for them. I go down to the next register and the person said, can you pray for me? And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And that day, I watched the manifest presence of God come in and change the lives of at least three people in Walmart. Why? Not because I'm super godly, not because I'm special, because I chose to be obedient to the voice of God. I believed in the power of God. I believed in the presence of God. Ready? And I carried what they needed. Does that make sense? A couple weeks ago, a month ago, I got invited to go to who's familiar with Sunnyside Alliance Church? Have you talked to anybody from there lately? About a month ago, we got invited to come into the church. The pastor called me and said, Joe, I want to preach in the presence of the power of God. Will you come and pray with our people? I said, absolutely. That's what we do now, by the way. I don't pastor a church. I really have a heart to come and pray with people and empower and equip and train and raise up people. And so we go to this church, and they said, we're going to ask for people to receive the presence of the power of God. And I said, no problem. Now, in the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, I don't know how new that is there, but it seemed to be pretty new. And the first person who came forward was a woman who was the heir to Purdue Farms. Righty? She's one of our biggest financial supporters in the Ministry of Young Life on the Eastern Shore. I'm just being real. And she says, I'm going to receive the fullness of what God has. And I went to pray for her, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, if she goes out, she's going to quit giving. Can we just be real? And God said, will you do what I asked you to do? I prayed for that woman. I got about that far from her body with my hand. At that point, she just went out in the floor. And then subsequently, people just began to grow out in the presence and the power of God. 2 weeks ago, we got called back. There's a woman who had had breast cancer, and they said it had been metastasized into her liver and her kidneys. And they asked us if we would pray. And we began to pray with this woman, and she was in her 60s and never experienced the presence and power of God. Friends of God came. She said she felt heat going through her body. She said she could feel heat in her heart. She said she could feel heat in her kidneys. She said she could feel heat in her liver. On Tuesday, she went back to the doctors, to the specialist. They said, something's not right. They said, we ran the scans. And there's no cancer in your kidney. On Thursday, she went back to the liver doctor. And the liver doctor said, there's something wrong. We can't find any cancer in your liver. And she said, I didn't think that you would. I've been touched by the presence and the power of God. Listen to me. We could have celebrated the fact that she laid down on the floor. That wasn't what was important. Listen to me. When God moves, there will be people who will be glory seekers. I'm just going to call it the way it is. There will be glory seekers. People who just come to get the goosebumps, to feel good and go home. God is looking for a church who is willing to receive the fullness of his presence, to be able to go out into the world and to make a difference and advance his kingdom against the kingdom of darkness. Pastor, we all right? What happened with the cashier? The craziest thing is, 2 weeks later, I go back into the aisle. And I wasn't paying attention. I was running late again as usual. And I backed in and I heard the voice of a little girl. And I turned around and she said, it's you. I'm like, oh no. She said, let me tell you what happened. She said, I went to apply for a job as a nurse. And I won't tell you the name of the organization because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. And she said, I went through the interview and I had to take the math test. And we got talking about what happened to me in Walmart that day. And he never gave me the test. And I got the job. She said, I gave my resignation and I start there 2 weeks from today. Listen to me. Oh, man. How about you? I just feel the electricity and the presence of God going through my body. You know, just for me, it's just his presence is here. His presence is here. Pastor Tim, can we get somebody to do worship? Maybe a guy to strum or something? I don't know about you. Pastor Joe, how often does that happen in your life? Alan, how often does that happen in my life? Every day. Every day. I can't explain it. I'm not super godly. I struggle. I battle. I'm no different than anyone else. But I am so dependent on the presence of God. And I know what this world needs is not more church or more religion. They need to encounter the manifest presence of God. Amen. I don't know about you. As much as I've experienced, I know that there's more. And I want more. Scripturally, The disciples were filled on the Pentecost and over and over and over again. It's not a one-time filling. Every opportunity I get to have someone pray for me and for the presence of God to come upon me and to fill me and fill me and fill me, I take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward. I got permission from Pastor Tim if the elders and Mark would come forward. And I feel like we're supposed to go in a certain direction. Listen to me. Don't ever take the presence of God for granted. His presence is here. Alan, come forward. We're going to have two altar calls. If you're healed here and you need God to physically touch your body, if you need God to heal you, anybody? Anybody? Come on. Come on. You have. Do women. Okay. If you need God to physically heal your body, I want you to come forward. It's nothing of us. Listen to me. We can't do it. We don't do it. All we do is release His presence and His power and watch Him do what He wants to do. Amen? Who needs healing? Hands up. Come on. Wow, we got a lot. Come on. Come on. Sandra, come pray with women.